Take your Bibles today, if you would, please, and turn your books to the book of Proverbs chapter 31. I don't want to hear any groans either as we turn there this morning. Proverbs chapter 31, and also if you want to put a finger in Genesis chapter 5, this will be an easy message this morning, so don't get too overwhelmed yet. Proverbs chapter number 31. Years ago, they had Proverbs chapter 32 for men, but we tore that out. Got rid of that chapter, and so it's just 31. So if you like 31 bags, you'll like this proverb this morning. I've been doing some DoorDash on the side a little bit to help with the missions fund. And when we do grocery deliveries, I always put the groceries in those. My wife has several 31 bags, so I put them in there. And there's a few ladies that recognize those bags, and they'll say, "Is those yours?" No, they're not mine, but I use them to make the job a little easier, getting the groceries into the house. And she said, "Well, your wife has good taste." I was like, "Yeah, if it was up to me, they'd be camouflage bags and their backpacks." So they should do that. You should do that at Fairway and Hy-Vee, offer camouflage plastic. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Proverbs chapter 31 this morning, I'm asking you to please stand one more time for the reading of God's Word. Begin at verse number 10 and read down to verse number 31 as a starting point. Then we'll be in just a few minutes in Genesis chapter 5. I want to read the first verse, then you read responsibly with me down through the next two verses down to verse number 31. "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She considereth a field and buyeth it. The fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with a strength, strengtheneth her harems. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her camel goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Today I want to just a little bit different message on Mother's Day, but I want to preach today a little while on by divine design. By divine design. Father, we pray that you'd help us today now. God, may you fill this place with your Spirit and your presence, Lord, today. Would you, God, work in our hearts this morning and use your word to encourage and help us to do your will, Father. And Lord, today I pray for your help, Lord. I pray that you loosen, Lord, the strings of my tongue. Lord, I pray that you help give me clarity of thought and speech today. Lord, I want to communicate your word, Father, effectively. Lord, I want your Spirit to help us today. Lord, may we leave here today, Father, drawn closer to you. Lord, I pray that you'll be with those that perhaps would be here in this room that are not saved. God, prick their hearts today. Reveal their condition. May they call upon you, Father, and turn to you, Lord, for salvation. Be with those today who perhaps are far from you, Father, and Lord, have not thought about you much or served you much. I pray, God, that you would help them today to get right, as a prodigal, to come home and do right. Lord, I pray that you'd help those today that have loved you and are faithful. Strengthen, Lord, our faith. Help us today, Father, to continue, Lord, to serve you and yield our lives to you, Father. Bless this place this morning, I pray, in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. By divine design. I have a pretty long introduction, and our message today will actually be in the conclusion. And so I preach, you bear with me this morning as we go through some verses today here in Proverbs and also in the book of Genesis chapter 5. Proverbs 31 is a portion of scripture that when read receives a varying degree of reactions. Reactions anywhere from an amen to, well, that's what you think, preacher. And this proverb is probably one of the few scriptures in the Bible that's caused women feelings of anxiety and a sense of being overwhelmed more than any other portion in the Bible addressed to ladies. I've often heard ladies say, I am not that woman, and I can never measure up to that woman or do what she does. And so before you today tune me out and go to your happy place, let me this morning just assure you that it's going to be okay, and it'll be helpful to you this morning if you listen. This scripture this morning, Proverbs 31, that we've just read, is more about the person than it is about the performance. I want you to get that this morning. It's more about the person than it is about the performance. It's more about being a virtuous Christian, a virtuous wife, a virtuous mother, than it is about working or shopping for groceries or cooking your meals or cleaning the house up or sewing clothes, managing or buying property, getting up early and going to bed late, and not being afraid of the snow. I put that last part in there for my wife's benefit, not being afraid of the snow. We often get overwhelmed by this description of this woman's performance that we miss the main truth, that a virtuous woman is like a ruby, that she is rare, and that she is of great value. And today I want you to realize, you men and you young folks in this room, that your mom is, as a godly woman, she's very rare in today's world. As a ruby is rare. In fact, I read yesterday that a ruby is of more value than a diamond. They say that diamonds are a woman's best friend, but ladies, you've got it all wrong. A ruby is of more value. And so tell your man that you want rubies, not diamonds. And good luck with that, right? Anyway, but a ruby is they're rare and of great value. And in today's society, a godly woman is very rare. Today we have watched the news as the Supreme Court was leaked opinion, and now they're afraid they might overturn Roe versus Wade and ban abortion, which would be a great thing in America. But how ironic that today these ungodly women are marching against Christianity, against churches, for the right to be called a mother, but yet to murder their babies. And it's amazing today that once it was normal in our country, you know, having a godly home and raising children and not, and abortion was unheard of. Now they're calling Christians that believe in the right to life extremist, extreme Catholics, extreme, and they put us in the same category as terrorist. And so this morning I want to again commend you that a Christian woman, she is like a ruby of great, rare, but of great value. Be thankful for her. Now this proverb is not the invention of some man trying to create an ideal woman for his own personal benefit and gain. As you read that, you think, boy, I'm sure the man of that woman is very happy. And did some man write that to describe the ideal woman for his own personal benefit and gain? And the thought might be for some, yes, and I'm not going to be that woman. It was actually a mom that took her son to a side and said, listen, son, don't give your heart and your life, your strength to evil women. But you wait for a virtuous woman. And she began to describe to him what a virtuous woman was and what she does, and that she is worthy of praise and honor. We also find this morning that this scripture today is also inspired by God. It's divine scripture inspired by God. The world says that favor is desirable and beauty is valuable. You see, the ungodly world hates this kind of woman that we just read about. They hate her. The progressive woman despises her. The feminists scorn her. The angry and confused woman ridicules her. And they despise this kind of woman. And the liberal says that it's the liberal woman would say the right kind of woman is well favored And she's a career woman. She's prosperous and powerful. And she lives in a man's world doing what men do. Hollywood says the right kind of woman is beautiful and glamorous with a certain kind of look and a certain kind of hairstyle and a certain kind of body shape. And the sad truth this morning is the family of God allows the unsaved world to set the standard of beauty and dress for God's people. Now, there is no praise and favor in beauty. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But the virtuous woman, the virtuous wife that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised, the Bible says. Ladies, today I want to encourage you as moms and as wives that you divorce yourself from the world's opinion of what a real woman is and take great heed to God's divine design for you. God's divine design for you. And the church today would do well to take great heed to God's divine design for the home. And what a real man is, and what a real lady is, and what young folks should be. God does not lift us up to chance or evolution. God has, He has a divine design for each one of us. Take your Bibles and hold your place in Proverbs and come to the book of Genesis chapter number 5, please. Let's get to some main meat this morning of the message. Genesis chapter 5. I want us to look briefly today for a few minutes at God's divine design when it comes to the lady, the woman of the home. Genesis 5, we find a review of creation. It says in verse number 1, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. In the day when they were created, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. In the days of Adam after he had begot Seth were 800 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of that Adam lived were 930 years and he died." It's a long time to be married to one man, isn't it? 930 years. Today we find in this scripture that God created. God created makes God the maker and the master. When we read that God created, it makes God the maker and the master. The word created speaks of intelligent design. It's not by chance that you were made the way you were made and men are made the way they were made. And so it was made by intelligent design. And God created speaks of divine design with a divine purpose. So this morning, that's a thing that we need to look at. It's contrary to the direction of the world today, to their philosophy, their teaching. God created speaks of a divine design for a divine purpose, not by accident. So we see this, that man was created in God's own image. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse number 27. Just a few pages back to the left. Genesis 1, 27. We see in the scripture, the Bible says this about God. It says in verse 27, "And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Now let me say this morning. We'll get to some meaty stuff. Male and female represent the complete image of God. I'll get to that this morning. That's important. This morning I'm not saying God is a woman or that God has a feminine side. Okay. I believe that God was a man and that Christ is a man. But we find here that man alone does not bear the complete or entire image of God. If that was the case, then God would have made Adam another dude to be his hunting partner. All right? But God didn't make two dudes in the garden. God made a male and a female. He made them in his own image. So together as one, they represent the complete image of God. Two men together do not bear the image of God. Two men together do not bear the image of God or of God's design. So let me give you a few thoughts about God's design. Number one is this: God's design included division. Included division. Look back at chapter 5, verse number 2. It says that about God's creation, male and female created he them. God's design included division. He made His creation. He made man male and female. And male and female were God's intentional plan and on a purpose. He didn't just, you know, think it up, or it wasn't by accident. No, his design included a division between the male and female. He made them different on purpose. You see, God designed man and woman to be distinctively different. Now that today we live in a world that says, no, they're not different. Oh yeah, yeah, we are. Yeah, we are different. Men and women are different in how they think. That's true. My wife don't think like me. If she did, she'd be right. Just want to get you back there in the back. I saw that look. I'm glad she doesn't think like me. Right? And men don't think like women. Right? We're distinctly different. Men, we see things different from each other. We look at the same thing and we have different responses. You know, we went down to Des Moines on Thursday and Friday for a Peace Officer Memorial. And on the way back, I got jilted in and guilted into swinging by a Pella to a tulip festival. And it was nice. She liked it, so I'm happy for her. But she saw tulips. They were beautiful. I just saw stuff. There was no guns. There was no camouflage. There's no bows. I mean, there's no fishing equipment. And so just like, it's, you know, in my life, if I was mowing, I'd mow them over, you know. We see things differently. Differently. We talk different. They were different in our love for one another. Men and women don't love the same. We're different in our feelings. But most people are different in their feelings. I saw a few men that need to toughen up a little bit in that area. But we're different. We're different in how we look. How we look, we're distinctly different. By the way, and God designed us to be different in our dress as well. He's simply different in our dress. And I know that's not a proper topic to preach on, even on a Sunday morning with God's people. We get a little antsy about that. You know, we were down and we were watching some young folks do some special things during in Des Moines. And it was a Christian school and they had uniforms, but the boys and girls were dressed exactly alike. The same pants, the same shirts, everything is same. Now that may not bother you, but I want my girls to look different than a boy. He's simply different. And by the way, ladies, don't get mad when you see a man in a dress. You've been wearing breeches for years. I know it's not popular, but you can't get mad at a man in a dress. You've been wearing his clothes for a long time. Amen. Help yourself. Now watch this. Now, I said this for a reason. The devil wants you to believe a lie that these differences are competitive. That somehow, if you're a man, you're going to be better than a woman. And in today's world, a man hear a woman roar, she's different, but she's better than any old man is. God didn't make him to be competitive. He had to be complementary. I don't compete against my wife. As a woman, she's better than I'll ever be as a woman. Okay, she's got that one. Congratulations, you get the reward. But she's not better as a man. Okay, I've got her beat that way. At least let me think that. And so our differences are not competitive. We complement one another. You see, where I don't think right, she thinks right. And where I don't see some things from the right kind of point of view, she helps me that way. She's my helper that God has designed to be help for me. And I complete her as well. And so the differences that we have today, the world says, it's competitive. Be better than your man. No. Compliment your husband. Compliment him. And so you compliment her. Don't use differences to beat one another up, but to compliment each other. That's what God wants us to have. Our difference, by the way, Our differences don't undermine our relationships. They help our relationships. See, Proverbs 31, 11 and 12 says, the heart of her husband is safe. He trusts in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. And she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, by the way, let me say this. And I don't know if you don't like it, that's okay. Just close your ears for a second. If you can't do that for your man, then you better pick the right man to begin with. Now, I can see sometimes women say, well, my man and my husband, wow. Well, then honey, you get the right one when you start out with. So you can be that kind of lady that God has designed a woman to be. A divine design, not an accident. A divine design. By the way, let me go to the next point. Some of you are digging your heels a little bit. This is not meant to be condemning to any woman here this morning. I'm here this morning to brag about how God has designed you to be. It's not an insult. It's a wonderful thing to be a godly woman, a virtuous woman. God, listen, He didn't make a man and say, okay, I got some spare parts left over. What am I going to do with those? No, you're by divine design. Look at verse number 2 again in chapter 5. So God's divine design included division, but it also included unity. Verse number 2 says, Adam and male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. In the very beginning, he called their name Adam. It was Mr. Adam and Mrs. Adam. If I understand the scriptures right, Eve wasn't called Eve until after the fall in the garden. And then Adam said her name should be called Eve. But before the fall, before sin came, it was just Mr. and Mrs. Adam. You see, God's design was that male and female would be husband and wife, that they would be one flesh, one unit, one team. You see, a marriage is not a man or a woman living together, doing their own thing, and being their own person. A marriage is a two becoming one flesh, one team, one individual. You see, once you get married, you can no longer just do you. I don't know where that saying came from, but I've heard that now many times in the last couple of years. You just do you. Well, you know, I understand that to some degree, but if you get married, you can't just do you. See, God's design included division, male and female. God didn't make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. And God's design included a unity. He made them to be one team. We see in the scripture today that God's design also included responsibility. Verse number 2 says, male and female created he them and blessed them. He blessed them. God's design in the beginning was paradise. Adam and Eve didn't squabble about in the garden who was better. And you know, who had to do the dishes or who had to clean who had to keep house. And Adam, you left your leaf on the floor again. You know, pick that up and put it in the hamper. There was no argument that it was paradise. But they each had a distinct role. Look what God says to them in Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 18. Now hang on with me. I'm going somewhere for a reason, so hang on with me today. Genesis 2, 8. I want to read to you Genesis 1:28 first. It says in verse number 28, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. God likes families. He likes big families. Yeah. Just a little bit to help you there. It got kind of quiet in there. Crickets. Replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that moveth upon the earth. That's God's blessing. That's God's commission. Let me see in chapter 2, verse 18, he said this. The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone, for I'll make him a help meet for him. Now the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, we brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam gave names to all cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. So here Adam, he has a job and he's naming the animals. Now, I don't know the Hebrew name or the Latin name, so he was like, that's a cow, and that's a horse, and that's a, you know, and that's a swan, and he was noticing that as he named the animals, they were pairs. There was a male and female. But you got to thinking, boy, you know, all these animals, they got somebody, but I ain't got anybody. And God says, not good for man to be alone. It says in verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now listen, the world today will look at those verses and say, I ain't liking any of that stuff. This is not a curse. It's not a slight. God said, listen, He made male and female distinctly different. He caused division there, but then He also made them for unity, but He gave them responsibility. He said, listen, Adam, I want to bless you, and I want to make you happy. And by the way, the garden was a place of, it was happiness. This was better than the Brady Bunch in the garden. I mean, they were happy, happily married. They weren't squabbling and fighting. They weren't upset with each other and thinking about, I'm leaving, going back to mom. You know, Adam was blessed. He had no mother-in-law. Think about that. That's why he was blessed and happy. You know, mother-in-law. But he had a responsibility he gave to Adam. But he also had a responsibility he gave to Eve, to the woman. He gave Adam a job to do. And he said, all right, he needs a helper. Come alongside of him and help him. And he made a woman that was meet for him, complete, that would complete him, complement him. Now we think that sometimes, well, does that mean a man's better? Where does it say that? Never says anywhere in the Bible where, because man was made first, that he's better. Doesn't say anywhere that because he was made to be a helper, that she's better. But they all each had a role, a responsibility that God gave them. And the devil today, he wants to muddy that up. He wants to mar that. And he wants to skew that. You see, priorities and responsibilities does not equal who's more important. I think today the feminists have it wrong. Because they want to think that if I can be like a man, I'll be important. No, you are as important as any man is by the way God designed you. Being a man doesn't make you more important. Being in the man's world, do what a man does. Being the ruler of your home and saying, I'll rule this house and you just be quiet there, Minnie Mouse. Doesn't make you more important. No, God designed you to be equally as important as a husband or a man. Priorities and responsibilities doesn't mean one's more important than the other. Because Paul tells the Corinthians that a man is not without the woman. Where would we be without a wife or a mother? No, that we're required to need each other of equal importance, but different roles. Don't the devil skew you, your mind, your thinking that somehow if I'm a mom, a housekeeper, a housewife, that somehow I'm less than anybody else. No, that's a great and honorable place to be. Right. Now we see this morning, this for number two is this. We see God's divine design, but here's what you see. God's design was challenged. From the very beginning, God's design for the home, for the world, for the husband and wife was challenged. Look at Genesis chapter number 3. So now get this, they're in the garden, Adam and Eve are in the garden, and they're happy. They each have their roles and responsibilities that they're doing. And you know, there's no sin. There's no bugs, there's no weeds, there's no bratty kids, because there's no sin, you know, all the, you know, and they're having a great time, happy, they're blessed. But then along comes this man called Satan. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, and your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes to make, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed them, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Of course, you know the rest of what took place here. You see, God's design was a crowning glory of creation. Adam and Eve were his crowning glory. Greater than the trees, greater than the plants, greater than the animals and the fish in the sea or the birds in the air. His crowning design was, it was the man and woman. That was his crowning creation, glory of creation. God's design was the complete image of himself. The devil, who hates God, who could not usurp his throne, now is set to destroy and corrupt his creation. The devil challenged that design. And so he sets out to corrupt his creation. You see, we find the changing of our culture into wickedness and perversion is the devil challenging God's divine design. Here's what he said. Verse number one. You can't trust God's word. He said to the woman now watch it. Now this is not a slight, but it's truth. Who did Satan go to? Because she was distinctly different than man. Not because she was less. Not because she was dumb. This idea, well, she is a dumb woman. No, not at all. Not at all. She was part of God's crowning glory. She was part of his image. But he went to the woman because she's distinctly different than the man. She thinks different. She responds different. He says to the woman, you can't really trust God's word. Yea, hath God said. Now, he didn't call God a liar, but he wanted to miss Adam, you need to doubt God's word just a little bit, because God didn't really mean what he said. The devil would love for you to believe that you cannot trust God's word. Now, ladies, this morning, here's why it's so important that you are what God has designed you to be. Because this woman, though she, I'm not, again, no slight to Eve at all. This is not a condemnation of her, but her actions to this temptation changed the entire world. It changed the direction of her home. And so he came to her and he said, listen, can you really believe God's word? You can't trust God's word. He wants to undermine her with seeds of doubt. Then he says this. He said, you can't trust God's word. And God is withholding some good from you. Now listen, Mrs. Adam had everything she needed. Everything she needed. In fact, they didn't even know they were naked. She had no laundry. There was never any dirty laundry. You know, my wife, you know, one of her things for the years, like, no matter how much I clean laundry, there's always more to clean. Yes. You know, and boy, you know, it's a little less now as we're empty nesters, a little less. But, you know, no matter, and sometimes, you know, when, as a husband, if I go to help her, I'm like, why should we clean up? Because as soon as we clean, the boys mess it up again. You know, it's just a never-ending job. And so, man, she all that she needed, she had. But Satan said this, you need more. You don't have enough. You need more. And listen, she was happy and blessed, but he said there's more happiness to be found. More prosperity. And God, he's way too restrictive. And his ways are way too narrow. The garden is too narrow. And the menu is not complete. And Eve, if you just partake of the fruit of this tree, you know what, Eve? You'll be as a God. You'll be just like God. You'll know good and evil, and you'll be happier. You'll be more blessed. You'll be complete. And of course, you know the story. You know the story. She took of the fruit, and Adam and Eve partook, and they both plunged man into sin. Verse number 6, we find that her temptation takes place. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, Eve, you can decide for yourself what's good for you. Now listen to me. This here we find is the woman's ultimate rebellion against God and against God's design. Because here's what she was saying. Here's what today what the liberal says and the baby killers and the sodomites. I don't need God. I don't need a man. That's woman's ultimate rebellion against God's design. Lied to by the devil. Do I think that women are out there just mean and cantankerous and just want to destroy anything around them? Yeah, some. Because there are some men who are the same way. But I think by and large, women have been lied to and said, hey, had God said, they don't really mean that. If you just do what you want to do and do your own thing and live your own life and you just do you and make your own choices, you don't need God and you don't need any man telling you what to do. And so she believed that lie. It didn't end well, by the way, did it? No. Never ends well. Now, God's divine design continues to be challenged. Now, hang on now to your seats a little bit. I'm almost about done. I'm coming down to the very end of my notes. And so just hang off me this morning just a little bit here. This morning, my heart is this. My heart, I just want to warn you, young ladies and you moms. The devil's challenge is still continues today. In fact, Paul warns us in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 that false teachers and false men and wrong teaching, they creep in the houses looking for what? Silly women. Women that say to themselves, I don't need God. I don't need my dad. I don't need a man. I can do my own thing. And they lead captive silly women to do their bidding. And it never ends the way you think it's going to end. Never ends. Never ends that way. In fact, we find in Genesis chapter 5, just a few verses later, that they're hiding from God. Hiding from God. Now, the world says that favor is desirable and beauty is valuable. The world says, look well to yourself. You're not here for your household or to be a help. Your household is here for you, to make you better. Being a wife and a mom is not enough. It is oppressive. It's degrading. If you're going to be happy, you will need the world's favor, prosperity. I think it's an insult when people say, oh, you're just a housewife? Just a mom? Now, that's a great calling. That's God's divine design. There's no shame in being a godly mom and a godly wife. There's no shame in being a housewife, a house mom. That's not an insult. The world today is harsh because it places great value upon beauty and appearance, not on substance or character. The world says to you and to the ladies today, they say, be yourself. Love yourself. Be you. But as you do that, you need to measure to our standard. Right? And so, if you measure to our standard, you gotta paint yourself up. You gotta dress it up. And you gotta push it up. You gotta tuck it in. And you gotta make it up. And then you're no longer able to hold that standard. You're no longer able to be there, what they call a woman. They say to you, shut up and cover it up. Right? It's harsh. Because they say that beauty is desirable. And beauty is valuable. And they pursued a counterfeit design that won't end the way you think it's going to end. So here's the conclusion this morning in this message, if you're following along. Proverbs 31:29 says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You see, it's the godly woman that yields to God's divine design that excels them all. You know, today, I have never met a happy feminist. I haven't. There might be some. I want to meet them someday if you find one. But they're angry. They're angry. They're marching for the wrong cause. I've never met a happy sodomite woman. A Lebanese or a lesbian, I guess. I never met one. Now, there might be some out there, but I never have met one. Everyone I meet that's fighting God's divine design, angry and confused and frustrated and bitter. and lonely and incomplete and confused and miserable and depressed. Why is it that this lifestyle is so great without a man that women that follow that lifestyle need antidepressants and pills and all kinds of things that prop them up? But it's the same way for a man when he tries to go against God's divine design. There is, you know, think about this today for a little bit. There is very little praise for Eve, but Mary's called blessed. There's very little praise for Delilah, but Hannah is called blessed. There's very little praise for Jezebel, but Ruth is called blessed. There's very little praise for Sapphira, but Esther is called blessed. You see, you are who you are by God's divine design. And there's no shame in that. Today, again, this all the devil challenging God's divine design to make you think that somehow being a woman is not enough. No, you are who you are by God's divine design. At the end of the day, when your children rise up and call you blessed, the world's favor won't matter. It won't matter. At the end of the day, who cares what the world says? When your kids say, "Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Mom, for what you've done for me. All those days you've raised me and loved me and believed in me and fed me and nurtured me and was there beside me and behind me and with me all the way. Thanks, Mom!" What does it matter what Oprah Winfrey says? What does it matter what The View says? What does it matter at the end of the day? Listen, at the end of the day, when the sun begins to set on in the horizon and your husband praises you, that faded beauty of yesterday won't even matter. Now again, I'm not saying it's wrong to be dressed up or be beautiful, but you know as well as I do, that all fades. What will matter what dress size you were when you were 18? How good you looked walking the street when you were 21. When at the end of the day, your husband says, "I want to praise you for what you've done and being my wife, being the mother of my children." It won't matter that the beauty has faded. Years ago when I was 18, I took a job for a short time as a CNA in a nursing home. Hey, I was good. And I remember going to those rooms, helping those people to get ready for a meal or ready for bed. And on the walls, there would hang these pictures of them when they were younger, years and years younger. Men that stood straight and tall, skin smooth and, you know, handsome and strong, full heads of hair. Now we're laying in these beds, wrinkled and curled up. You couldn't tell they're the same person. On these walls, there's going to be women in wedding pictures. Beautiful. Complexion perfect. Makeup perfect. But in that bed now laid a woman that was wrinkled and old. And the beauty was gone. But she still was a blessed woman. By being virtuous and godly. See, today, the world says if you're beautiful, you're more important. But God says, if you're godly, you'll be praised. Here's the message today. Here's the whole message today, and I'm done. Ladies and men, trust God's word. Now, I know I took a long way around the mulberry bush to get to this point. But I wanted to riot up just a little bit and poke a little bit at you a little bit and provoke you just a little bit as I did it. That's my job. Make you think a little bit. Don't buy into the world's design of who you're supposed to be. What a woman really is. They ain't got it right. They got it all wrong. They're making women miserable. Run from that. But trust God's word. Trust God's word. Yea, hath God said, yes! Yes, he said it. And it's good enough for me. I like what the Proverbs said in Proverbs 3:5-8. Trust him with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. And always acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. God says to you and I, do you want to be happy and blessed? You want to fulfill my divine design? Then don't trust in your own understanding. Trust in the word of God. Today is a simple message. You can trust God's holy word. This is not some funny book. not some just book full of stories to make your day or to, you know, get something to talk about. This is God's inspired word. And trust the book. Trust the word of God. Number two is this. Live God's word. Live God's word. Psalms 119, 105 says, thy word is lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. You can trust God's word. But moms and dads today, young folks, you can live God's word. The devil will say to you, they'll come to you at an early age and they'll say, come here. I'm going to tell you a secret. This book is way too narrow. Way too restrictive. If you follow this book as a young lady, you'll be miserable. You're going to be tormented. You're going to be left out. You're going to be laughed at. They'll scorn you because it's going to tell you how to honor your parents, how to be a godly woman, how to dress a certain way, how to have the right kind of spirit, the right kind of attitude, your goal for your design. And they'll tell the same thing to the young men. And we say, well, I can't do that. I won't be happy. Show me anybody outside that book that's happy. Show me. I apologize if that's the case. I've not yet seen anybody go against that word. At the end they can say, you know what? I'm so happy. I'm so blessed. Yippee! It's wonderful. Life is grand. I'm doing great without God. I haven't found anybody yet. But I've met a bunch of folks that said, in their sunset years, oh, I wish. You know, my dad said this to me years ago. My dad was married and divorced 3 times. And his last wife, he just kind of stuck with her because it's cheaper to keep her. I asked, no, that's, by the way, that's the truth. That's what's truth. Not being funny, it was truth. I asked him about it years ago before he passed away, and he said this. He said, Eddie, call me Eddie. He said, I wish I would stay with your mom. That was his first wife. I made the same mistake over and over again. I wish I'd stay with your mom. You know, folks, I'm telling you something this morning. A lot of folks today, in their sunset years, when they should be rejoicing, reaping the benefits and rewards of their of serving God, have rejected God's word in their sunset years, are lonely and miserable, bitter and cynical, and on a shelf doing no good for anybody. Christians today, young folks today, I know that the word of God today is not what the world promotes and believes and exalts. But you can trust God's word and you can live God's word. And lastly today is number three is this. I told you I'd be brief and I'm not, I've been a liar today. Sorry. God has a design that's good for you. God has a design that's good for you. Here's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. John 3:16. For God, the creator, the maker and the master, so loved, more than you and I can ever imagine, so loved who? The world. Men and women. That what? He gives an only begotten Son, that whosoever be within Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has designed us good for you this morning. But you're never going to find that design without first being saved. See, being a child of God is not by coming here and trying to do real good. Well, if I do real good, I'll be God's child. No, you just be a good devil's brat. Well, I'm just going to try real hard and I'm going to be religious, then you'll be a religious lost person. God said this, I love you so much, I have a plan for your life, but first of all, you must believe in Jesus Christ and trust in Him. Have everlasting life. One day, my friend, you and I are going to, this flesh that you see here, they're going to put in a box. It'll be dressed up. I'll have a suit on. I'll have my hair, well, whatever's left at that time. And I'll be laying there, and my wife will be like, call the life insurance guy quick. And she'll be calling down the car lot for a Mustang or something, I don't know. Counting the money, whatever. And I'll be happier than she is anyway. I'll be in heaven. And she'll outlive me. I'm sure she'll outlive me because she can. But I'll be dead. This body's going to be in that casket. The things that we fight for in this life is, without Christ, what does that make a difference? It doesn't matter how religious I might have been, or how good I might have been, how nice of a husband I was. It's only going to matter if I have trust in Christ as my Savior. And today we fight and claw and we scratch and we strive and we war, trying to get the next best thing, to get a better smartphone, a faster car, a bigger house, better clothes. What does it matter if you die and go to hell? It means nothing. And it's contrary to God's design for your life. This morning, if you just trust in Christ, quit fighting and trying to be a better you, just say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I can't save myself. But God, I'm going to turn to you and repent of my sin and say, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me and save me. You know what he'll do? Just like that, he'll save you. He'll give you everlasting life, and you'll be a child of God. And that's when you begin to find what God's divine design for your life is. Today, if you've not trusted him, today's the day to trust him. Lord, today we come to you in close, and we thank you, dear God, for our moms. God, thank you, dear God, for the moms that you put in my life. My mother, my grandmother. God, I'm glad that in their life, Lord, they yielded to you and became Christians. That God, as best they could, Lord, they lived your divine design. Thank you, Lord, today for the ladies you placed in this place. Lord, may they today not believe the world's lie, the devil's challenge, that they can't be happy doing what God's called them to do. But right in the middle of your will, that's blessings. That's joy. That's happiness. God, today may we rise up and call them blessed. May we praise them, Father, and give them the glory that's due to them. God, today I pray that you be with those who are not saved today. May they today turn toward you and find, Lord, everlasting life in Christ. Let's all stand together. The piano begins to play an invitation song this morning. Perhaps you'd say, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. And if I died right now, I'm not sure for a Bible reason in heaven with my home that I have everlasting life. In fact, if I died right now, I'd probably go right to hell. And I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die a sinner. I want to be saved. I want to be a child of God. Today, that's you this morning. That's where you're at this morning. Would you do me a favor? Would you step out from your standing and come down the front and say, Pastor Mass, I want to know for sure today that I'm saved. And we'll take the Bible from God's Word and show you how you can be saved. Telling you to come, would you come this morning? I'm not saved. I'm not going to heaven. I'm not God's child. And I want to be born again. Today, you come. Meet me in the front and say, Pastor, I need to be saved today. And we'll take the Bible and show you from God's Word how you can be saved. Today, would you trust him? Put your faith in him this morning. Perhaps today you'd say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I have missed God's design for my life. I messed some things up, but I want to get right. Today, would you come this morning at an old-fashioned altar and say, God, forgive me, help me to do right. Help me to yield myself to your divine design. I want to be blessed. I want my life to matter for Christ. Amen. Ladies, I want to encourage you this morning. Thank you for being godly moms. One day you'll stand before God. You won't give an account for how prosperous or how favorable you were in the world. He won't ask you how beautiful you were, how you wore your hair, your makeup, what you wore. But he will commend you on being godly and fearing him. And that's what our world needs. Today, our world today is taking a great judgment because we have refused God's divine design for our lives. We've made a mess of things. But today, if you want to find peace and joy and happiness, you can find it in God's Word. You can find it in God's design. Trust him and live it. Live it. I encourage you this morning.